from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Now, there might be a spike in the quality of audio this week because we are using a new app, or we're trying it out, and we like to test things out occasionally. So we're trying out this thing called Squadcast, which is an app on the desktop, and Nigel and I can see each other. We normally record using Zoom, but we're trying Squadcast. So let's see what it sounds like. Hopefully it sounds really good. This week, everyone, we are looking at a report. Yet again, we like to do this, but we think it's really important. So we will carry on doing this when they are worthy of comment. And this week's is. It's called the International Report, Neuromyths and Evidence-Based Practices in Higher Education. Now, why is this important for L&D professionals to look at? Nigel?
Well, first of all, let's thank Donald Clark for pointing this report out. We probably wouldn't have found it without his eagle eye. It's important because this report is based on those involved in delivering learning in higher education, i.e. you'd expect these people to be evidence-based, above all. And what it's finding is that neuromyths particularly slip through the cracks, and even professional instructional designers, instructors, and administrators fall right into the bear pit and come up with a whole bunch of neuromyths. And the most susceptible ones are, there are still people who believe listening to classical music increases reasoning ability. A primary indicator of dyslexia is seeing letters backwards. Individuals learn better when they receive information in their preferred learning style. Martin, we're back with learning styles still. Some of us are left-brained and some of us are right-brained due to hemispheric dominance. And the last one, my favorite, we only use 10% of our brain. All of these, all five of them, total and complete rubbish with not a shred of evidence to back them up. And yet, professionals in higher education still believe these. And therefore, I would imagine by extension, there are quite a lot of people working and learning in organizations who believe these things. So the report is drawing attention to something that we've known about, but it's bringing an evidence-based approach. It surveyed thousands of people in this domain. It gave them statements which they had to judge whether they were correct and incorrect. So it's based on a whole bunch of evidence, and I think it's quite interesting. Martin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's worth sharing with your team. I think it's worth taking these 27 statements about the brain that are included in the report and maybe sharing that with people and saying which one is a myth and which one isn't. I think it's a great list, and I think it should be used to help understand what is and isn't correct, because the report does point out that a lot of the people in higher education, they are well aware of evidence-based techniques and practices, but the problem is, as you said right at the beginning, some of these myths slip through the cracks. So this isn't about kind of hitting people over the head about this stuff. The evidence-based activity does take place in higher education, and it is increasingly taking place in the workplace. But that doesn't mean to say this stuff can't still slip through the cracks. So I use this report using that list to try and get people to think about what is and isn't a myth. The other points it makes, I think, which are quite interesting, is that learning professionals need to be in control of this stuff. They need to go out and read widely and really understand what science is telling us. And I think this is a really key takeaway from this report. It's like, that's a recommendation. It's like, what about your own learning and your own understanding of your domain? How good is it? And how up to date is it? So it's a kind of wake-up call around that. And I think also it has something quite interesting to say about the development, the professional development of learning professionals. Where in all of that currently is learning science? It's only really beginning to rear its head in certain places, I think. And we shall see more of that as the months and years go on. But still, some of those myths are in the curricula of some professional development programs in L&D, I think. I'm pretty sure that's still the case. So that's a sign that actually this stuff does need to change around the professional development and qualifications for L&D people. So, yeah, so I think it's a good, worthy report in terms of it can help you have a discussion internally, and it can also sound the alarm over, well, how good is my knowledge around this stuff and what do I need to do to get better and understand this area more effectively.
Yeah, I think you're right, Martin. I also think that it's saying caveat emptor, that there is a duty imposed on everyone who works in this field to be aware of where learning science is going and to keep up with learning science and not just believe some blog or white paper that is produced by a vendor with very little thought or very little research. And just to be ask always the very simple question, where is the evidence for this? And if you keep that in mind, you can become much more informed very, very quickly. And there are people like Will Tolheimer, who spends his life exposing fraudulent research or non-research, of alerting people to myths around learning. So people like Will, you should be linked to his blog in some way and just up your game, I think, essentially. So let me just remind everybody of the name of the report. It's called International Report, Neuromyths and Evidence-Based Practices in Higher Education, produced by the Online Learning Consortium, published last month. Largely US-based evidence, not entirely. There's someone from Holland who's on the team, but it's largely US-based, largely Drexel University-based as well. Highly respectable learning scientists doing a good job investigating something that we should invest time in. So thank you to them. Thank you to Donald for drawing our attention to the report. And thank you for Martin for a very succinct summing up of what it's concluded and what we need to do. So, Martin, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Nigel.